One of the most common types of interview questions goes something like this. What are your strengths and what are your weaknesses? It's one that can be a challenge to answer, especially the part about weaknesses. The weaknesses that we all have can easily threaten to put a shroud over our positive attributes, and they might be things that we might not want to really admit. Certainly, we might not want to dwell on them, but the weaknesses that we all have can, as hard as they are to admit, even to ourselves, we all have them. We have to deal with our weaknesses in some manner. In fact, being a part of being a Christian fundamentally involves acknowledging our weakness of falling prey to sin. Now, we are instructed to live in a continual state of repentance, constantly working to improve and become better, to live God's way. And because of that, it's imperative that we do focus part of our attention on our weaknesses. While it is important, critically important, that we actively work to find our failures, it is just as important that we don't focus exclusively on our failures. If we examine our lives and all we see are the things that we can't do, if all that we see are our shortcomings and failure, we become exposed to the potential of falling into a trap, a very dark one, of negativity and inevitable depression. Yes, we have to look at more than just our weaknesses because it's very counterproductive. It really can cause us to think that if all that we see are failures, we may not believe in ourselves to overcome our sins. And that truly is one of the very important aspects of being a Christian. We must overcome sin. So that means if we are giving some acknowledgement to our failures of living a righteous life and that we do fall prey to sin, we have to balance that with a positive outlook on our own lives. We have to find our strengths and we have to use them to lead us to success in whatever we set out to do. We can't just focus on our negative traits. We have to remember that our strengths will lead us into overcoming those failures. So it's important in our own lives. That's not what I want to focus on during this message today. We have to focus on more than just ourselves. We have to offer strength. We have to offer positive encouragement to others. We have to build each other up. We have to edify our brethren. And that is the title of the message that I'm giving you today. Edify. Let's begin in Romans 14, and I'll read verse 19. This is a very succinct scripture, very clear instruction to all of us. Romans 14 and verse 19 states this: "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." And that's all the scripture says. We see throughout the Bible that this word edify means to build up. It's a constructive kind of instruction that we see here. In the context of this scripture, and in just about every other place where you can find the concept of edification being expressed, there is an admonishment to find ways to actively help others, actively build each other up. We each have a role that we play in other people's lives, and it needs to be a positive and constructive one. That's the job of a Christian. We offer support, we offer encouragement, we offer strength and love when others are in need. And, brethren, we're always in need. It's not enough to seek our own salvation, to seek overcoming our own sin. If we want to succeed in our own lives, we have to help others to do the same thing. We have to build up one another. Look for how we can offer strength and support to each other and do it. You'll note that this concept of edification, of building up one another, is completely and diametrically opposed to cutting someone down, to finding the problems in another person's life and focusing on those problems. Just as we look to, we may acknowledge our own failures, in fact, that is something we are supposed to do, but we have to look past our own failures and overcome them. And when we work with others that we come in contact with, we cannot strictly focus on what may be judged as being a problem in their life. We have to build up one another. Turn with me to Luke 6, and we'll look at verses 37 through 38. Luke 6 and verse 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. This is Jesus Christ teaching the golden rule in the most expressive language I have found in the Bible, as in my opinion. I love the way this is phrased. It's so poetic in the description of what we can expect in return once we offer positive and constructive support to one another. This applies in the context of our interactions with others in our life that we live now and in the flesh, but this also applies in terms of our eternal life. If we judge not now in this life, it states that we will not be judged. There is a dual application there that the Bible supports. We will not be judged, most specifically, in a negative way, of course, when we are judged at the great white throne judgment. If we choose not to condemn others now, it is to our benefit in our eternal life that we will not be condemned. If we forgive now our brethren and others that we come in contact with, we will be forgiven eternally. If we give now, if we offer support to one another's now and give one another encouragement, we too will receive that same gift back to us. We will be, this is putting treasure in heaven. If we offer a positive and constructive outlook to people, it will come back to us. We all affect each other's lives. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 4 and read verses 9 through 12. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Brethren, we need each other. We need each other in a constructive way. We don't need each other to cut one another down. We are weaker when we don't have support for one another, each one of us. Everyone involved in your life, especially among our brethren, becomes spiritually stronger when we work together. Let's go over to Ephesians 4 and read verses 11 through 16. Ephesians 4. Just make sure I have this right here. That's okay. Ephesians 4:11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Starting out in this passage, we read about the role of the ministry. The role of the ministry has a very strong emphasis on edifying the church. That's our job. We come before the brethren, stand here, and share knowledge, share instruction intended to build up the attendees, those who might hear what is being spoken. That's what counseling is about. It's not about finding failure. It's about overcoming. If the ministry does not build up and encourage a stronger spiritual conviction and conversion, they're not fully doing their job. That's a fundamental part of what we do. The strengthening is absolutely necessary for everyone in the church as well. This passage opens up, speaking about the job of the ministry to edify the body of Christ, the church, but it also speaks about the members of the body, all those parts that are knit and joined together. That is you, that's me. We all have different strengths that we can offer. We all come in contact with one another. We all affect each other's lives. We all have an opportunity, because of that contact, to offer encouragement and strength and edification to one another, to help each one of us overcome. Together, we're in this for the long haul, and we're not alone. Together, we cause growth to build up the body of Christ and the church. Let's go to Philippians 2. And read verses 1 through 8. Philippians 2 and verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. We are instructed to work together in unity, being like-minded, having the same love, the same spirit. This means that we mustn't harbor negative attitude that sabotages the growth of the church, collectively or individually. Have we sabotaged one another in our spiritual growth? Is a question that we need to sincerely consider. And if so, you know, what can we do to turn that around? What could we do instead to help build up one another? The definition of love that we frequently cite is an outgoing concern for others. We look out for the interests of others, and through our interactions, we build them up to succeed. That's love. That's the same love that Jesus Christ had for us, has for us. And he did exactly this. He had our interests in mind when he offered his life so that we may have eternal life. All of these thoughts probably sound great. I'm sure we all want to build up one another, but it's up to us to figure out just how to put it into practice. I can't offer a specific prescription for you for how to do that, but I can provide you a suggestion for a frame of mind to keep. First, be conscious of the fact that our lives have an influence on everyone whom we come in contact with, stranger or a close acquaintance, family members, friends, everybody. Second, consider that our actions that may affect one another have the ability to improve the life of others. Also consider that our actions may become an obstacle to the well-being of somebody's spiritual growth. And finally, when we begin making the effort to build up one another, remember this, citing from Galatians 6, 9 through 10. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith.